Today, during Cap Radio special coverage, California's mandatory mask order is causing some division in the state, but not among its current and former governors.
COVID-19 is still spreading.
This isn't over.
So do your part.
Don't let COVID win.
We'll speak with Gray Davis about how the group came together in such politically charged times. Plus, why men are less likely to wear masks to protect against COVID-19. I'm Randall White. All that just after the news. This is Cap Radio's special coverage. I'm Randall White, and today we're talking about California's mandatory mask order, which requires you to wear a protective face covering in most public situations, with some exceptions. It hasn't necessarily been embraced by everyone. Multiple sheriff's departments throughout the state have said they don't plan to enforce the requirement. And in one town in particular, Nevada City, it's seriously dividing the residents. As a recent story by Liz Keller in the Union newspaper points out, Nevada City Mayor Renette Sinem is under fire for social media posts in which she questioned the requirement. She actually called for people on Facebook to push back against it, saying there is no existing law to wear a mask. Keller's piece says the mayor's Facebook post prompted both praise and criticism. One person who felt compelled to respond was the city's vice mayor, Erin Minette. And she's soon to take over Sinem's job as mayor, and she joins us now. Hi, Erin.
Hi.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
You bet. Great to have you with us. So the mayor posted, "Our government does not have that unilateral power to make such orders." Why did you feel the need to then get involved in this controversy and, you know, and push back against that statement?
Well, first of all, I'm a council member and I live in this community. And the way that I heard about her statement was, I was in a local grocery store on Saturday morning when a gentleman stormed into the store telling everybody he wasn't going to wear a mask. He didn't have to wear a mask because the mayor of Nevada City told him he didn't have to. And I felt incredibly sorry for the checker who had to deal with him. It's a hard enough job. They're working so hard. And he did a wonderful job. And you know, basically the man ended up giving up and putting on a mask so he could shop for his goods. But the fact that the people who are on the front line that are dealing with this and trying to keep their doors open and following the mandate, they shouldn't have to be screamed at by our local residents. You know, people need to be kind to each other. We are all in this together.
I pointed out the local story, the story in your local paper, but it's been reported pretty widely, the San Francisco Chronicle, the LA Times. What are you hearing from your constituents about the division?
In all honesty, I have had, right now, I can literally say I've had about two or three emails supporting her stance. The rest have been from business owners and local residents. That are very concerned what she has said publicly. They are asking for her to step down. They're angry that she's hurting our community, that she's dividing our community. This is hurting store owners who are doing an amazing job right now, keeping their doors open, making a safe environment for our public to come into. And I'm so proud of them. And this doesn't work. This doesn't help them. We're not helping our local economy at all. I've heard from, we have a local campground that is wonderful. Their reservations are being canceled. Also a local B&B, their reservations are being canceled. This is going to hurt us economically, and we're already struggling. We are a very small tourist town.
Do people see it as a partisan issue?
Right now, they are just scared. And yes, we have an uptick. We were flat for almost for a month and a half.
In terms of number of cases?
12 in Western Nevada County. Upper Eastern Nevada County had more. That's Truckee, Tahoe area. And now that these cases are starting to increase, people are scared. And we have a huge elderly community who would like to be able to come out of their house, but they don't feel safe. And this has just basically made it so they feel even more unsafe to come out.
You're just days away from taking over that position of the mayor's seat, right? July 1st?
Yes. Uh-huh. I mean, just days away. And not a great way to start.
What sort of messaging will you put out there when you do have that position to, you know, get Nevada City residents on the same page?
Well, first of all, my biggest message to people, and my personal message, because I really can't speak for the rest of the council or the city. We have not met on this. We have not, you know, made a mandate. We haven't even discussed it as a council. And my fellow council members need to have input. We all need to have input into this. But personally, I am asking people to wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear a mask, social distance, and please, please be kind to each other. Be courteous. These are our neighbors, our, you know, family, our friends. Let's be a community that takes care of each other.
And we do want to mention that we reached out to Nevada City's mayor, but did not hear back. In fact, her inbox apparently was overflowing. We got like a bounce back. And so we just wanted to mention that we tried. Nevada City Vice Mayor Aaron Minette, soon to be Mayor Aaron Minette, thank you so much for taking time to join us today.
Thank you.
And a new video is out today with the four former living governors of California and the current, all asking you to please wear a mask. It includes three Democrats and two Republicans to make the point that this is not a partisan issue, but one of public safety. Here it is.
COVID-19 is still spreading.
It didn't go away just because your mall is open at 50% capacity.
This isn't over. It's up to all of us to fight it.
So do your part.
Don't let COVID win. Wear a mask.
Just do it.
Just do it.
One of the voices on that public service announcement is former Governor Gray Davis, who was defeated by Arnold Schwarzenegger in a recall election back in 2003. In fact, the part of the PSA or the public service announcement that we didn't hear actually has a fun interchange between the two. Governor Davis joins us now to talk about how the group came together. And Governor, welcome.
Welcome. Good to be with you, Randall.
Yeah. So I have to know, in these divisive political times, how do three Democrats and two Republicans agree on the same thing at all, strongly enough that they're able to record a PSA and even have a little fun with it?
Well, the former Governor's Club is pretty small. There's only four of us. And whether you're Republican or Democrat, you have all the same problems keeping the economy going, making sure schools stay open. And so when you get a double whammy like this, a big health scare, plus the need to find a way to reopen the economy in a safe manner, those are tasks that were more difficult than any of the former governors had. So we wanted to offer support to the governor. He's asked us to advise him on his economic recovery task force. And we've had two standalone phone calls, just the four governors, ex-governors himself and his chief of staff. And on one of the meetings, Arnold suggested, let's all get together and tell people it's important to wear a mask. And let me tell you, from my perspective, it's kind of ridiculous that we are almost defenseless against this pandemic. There's no vaccine on the horizon. There's no effective treatment on the horizon. Our only defense, the only one, is to stay out of the way of the virus, namely stay at home. And if you go out, wear a mask. So it's not like we got six other things working for us and a mask is like superfluous. No, a mask and staying at home is all we have to avoid catching the coronavirus. So asking people to do that for their sake and the people they love and support and their neighbors, I think it should just be seen as their civic duty and not be seen as a political football. It's really a matter of staying alive.
So it was former Governor Schwarzenegger's idea to record the PSA. Whose idea was it to joke about the recall election?
Well, Arnold and I have gone back and forth on this several times. It was Arnold's idea. And people said, who should prepare the script? And I said, Arnold. And I said that because one time he invited me on the Tonight Show. He says, you're going to come on. I'm going to be midway through the interview with Jay Leno. And they're going to ask you how's Arnold doing? And you're going to say he's doing a hell of a lot better than he did in Hercules in New York. About six one-liners that Arnold all wrote. I got to last, and he was the butt of the joke. So I knew I was in good hands when he was writing the script. Did I tweak it a little bit? Yes. But the whole idea was, hey, Arnold, I didn't vote for you because I was on the ballot at the same time.
Right, right. So Governor Davis.
We get along fine. And he's in L.A. as well. I support his institute at USC. He's joined our Southern California Leadership Council. We now have Governor Wilson, Governor Schwarzenegger, and myself. And in that capacity as well, we talk to the governor in a Zoom capacity from time to time.
Governor, if I have my dates right, you didn't deal with a pandemic of this size when you were governor of California, but you did have a coronavirus-related pandemic that was happening, right?
Yes, SARS. Followed by anthrax, which was not a virus, but was a public health scare. So we started to do a lot of research on that. When Arnold followed me, he continued that, and he actually had a lot of personal protective equipment warehouse, which was helpful to Governor Newsom. So Republican or Democrat, we understand how important public health is. I told Sally before the interview, I mean, look, we have the biggest military in the country, and I have nothing against the military. I served in the Vietnam War. We have unquestioned superiority in medical and scientific matters, and yet a tiny virus took our economy to its knees and that of 185 other countries. So if you're not going to take that threat seriously, then you're really missing the elephant in the room.
How do you feel about the president's politicization of wearing a mask and those elements of this pandemic?
Well, I think he should wear a mask, but I think if you really want to be critical about him, he was very slow to get moving on this thing. A lot of experts thought several thousand people died because of it. And one of the things I'd like to see the federal government do going forward is work with other countries when they're infectious diseases, because sooner or later, those infectious diseases are going to work their way over to our country, because we live in a world economy and we'll be back at some point to the day where people travel for business and vacation. So if someone is sick in China or sick in Russia, we're eventually going to catch it at some point. So better to learn all we can as soon as we can about the virus or infectious disease, so we're better prepared when it comes here. And if we can help other countries fight the disease, all the better.
Today, Governor Newsom made the case that we're doing pretty well in terms of case ratio to availability of hospital rooms and ICU rooms, ventilators and that sort of thing. And that it's that balance between opening up the economy and having the facilities and the ability to treat people who do come down with COVID-19. How do you feel the state is doing right now? And should we be opening at the rate that we are?
Yeah, I think the state is in very capable hands. And Governor Newsom, if I had to grade him on a 0 to 10, I'd give him a 15. He's really done a fantastic job. And let me give you one example. So we are the biggest state by far in the country. New York is fourth. It has 20 million. We have 40 million. Texas is 12 million less. Florida is 14 million less. So by all rights, because we have more people, we should have more infections, more deaths, more hospitalizations. But according to the CDC this morning, we ranked 31 in terms of infections, not first, and 29th in terms of deaths. So that means the governor, public health officers, and enough people have been paying attention to stay at home and wear a mask, that we're outperforming what normally would be California ranked first in everything, first mm-hmm. in this case, worst. But no, we're way back in the pack, which is a good start. And we've developed so much personal protective equipment now, which is a real wild, wild west story if you want to get into it.
All right.
That he is sharing it at cost with other states who desperately need it. So there are some good signs here, but we still have, at least in my judgment, another year and a half before we get a vaccine that's fully tested and we can return to some sense of normalcy.
All right. Former Governor Gray Davis, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll put a link to the public service announcement at capradio.org. This is Special Coverage. I'm Randall White, and we're back in just a moment. This is Cap Radio special coverage. I'm Randall White, and today we're talking about masks because, well, California is under a mandatory face covering order, and that's brought up some questions from state residents and lawmakers. I want to play a little sound from Governor Newsom from earlier today.
And we think the most impactful thing we can do, short of going back to a stay-at-home order, is wearing face coverings when we can't practice physical distancing.
So he clearly supports the use of masks, as do the four other living governors of California. We just heard from former Governor Gray Davis. But statistically, they go against the trend. Data shows men are less likely to wear masks. Dr. Ellen Barcelo is the deputy director of the Mathematical Sciences Research Institute in Berkeley, and Dr. Valerio Capraro, senior lecturer in economics at Middlesex University, London. Their new study digs into this and other reasons why we may or may not wear facial covering. And they join us now. And Dr. Capraro is in London, so it's almost midnight there, I think. Thank you, doctor.
Hi, thank you. I'm actually in Italy, so it's almost 1 a.m. now.
Oh, right. Okay, I was off. I was off by quite a ways there. Tell us about the study. How and where did you get your data?
So we collect the data in two sessions, the first on April 28th and the second on May 4th. And we recruited subjects living in the USA, so Americans, on Amazon Mechanical Turk. This is a platform that allows researchers to recruit participants from an heterogeneous, although not representative, pool of subjects. So in our case, we have a slight over-representation of men over women, 52 to 48. The age range between 25 and 54 years old is also slightly overrepresented. Also, whites are slightly overrepresented, and people who identify themselves as left-leaning are slightly overrepresented.
Okay. So, Dr. Barcelo, let's walk through some of the key findings. What was the deal with men?
Yes. Let me just mention one thing quickly. When Valerio mentioned 52 versus 48, this is in terms of percentage. Our sample was 1,250, I believe. And so, yes, so we did find a strong indication that when asked if they intend to wear a mask, men intend to do that at a much lesser rate than women.
The signal is just a little bit not clear, so I want to make sure people understand that. When men were asked if they intend to wear a mask, a majority, more than not, said that they do not.
This is not what I was saying. I was comparing to the level of answers compared to the women's level of answers.
So I see. Okay.
It was not a yes or no. It was a scale from 0 to 10. Do you agree? 0 is no, I don't agree at all. To wear 10, yes, I very much agree with wearing a mask when I will go outside. So this level was much less. It was around 6, I think, 6 point something for men, while for women it was above 7. 7.3, I don't know. Maybe Valerio has the exact number with him right now. But it was a statistically significant difference.
Yeah. And so, Dr. Capraro, whether people will wear a mask depends in part on who they think they're protecting, right?
Yes, kind of. So we also send messages to people highlighting the threats of the coronavirus. For example, we told them that the coronavirus is a threat to their community. And we found that when we made this salient, the people then after this intend to wear a face mask more than the baseline when they are not told anything. So it seems like that making salient that the coronavirus is a threat to their community has a positive effect on intentions to wear a face mask.
Right. And do you think that's being done? Do you think political leaders are pushing that enough, telling people that it's a community threat, it's not just to protect yourself?
In some situations, yes. So we saw in this interview before that the vice mayor used exactly that message, and I was very happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Barcelo, I understand that men have more negative emotions when they're wearing a mask. What do you mean by negative emotions?
So we ask them, for example, if how they felt about wearing a mask. And we ask them, is wearing a mask, face covering, cool or not cool? Is it a sign of weakness? And is it shameful? And we also ask if there is a stigma attached to wearing a mask, then it will prevent you from wearing it as much as you feel you should.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these emotions, when we took the average, again, it was on a scale of 0 to 10, so we took average. Men were having much stronger negative feeling about wearing a mask than women.
Uh-huh. Dr. Capraro, were you surprised by any of the results?
Yes, there were a couple of them that were surprising and unexpected. So one is that the fact I mentioned before, that making salient that the coronavirus is a threat to the community, has an effect only among people who self-identify as right-leaning, why it had no effect on people who self-identify as left-leaning. But on the other hand, we have to say that overall, people who self-identify as left-leaning have more intentions in general to wear a face covering.
Okay. Dr. Capraro, were you able to determine the why that some groups are more or less likely to wear masks?
Well, our results are mainly correlational. That means that it's difficult to say why. For example, we found that men intend to wear a face covering less than women. So our correlations give some indications for future research that we should definitely look into. For example, negative emotions seems to play a role. But also another variable that seems to play an important role is the subjective likelihood to get infected. Indeed, we found that men believe that they are less likely than women to get infected. And this partly explains why they intend to wear a face covering less than women.
Yeah, and the irony there is that men are... when they do come down with COVID-19 or are more likely to have a serious case of it. Dr. Hélène Barcelo, a Deputy Director of Mathematical Sciences Research Institute in Berkeley, and Dr. Valerio Capraro, Senior Lecturer of Economics at Middlesex University in London. Thank you both so much. I appreciate it. And this has been special coverage for today. We'll be back here again tomorrow at 3:30. Great to have you with us. I'm Randall White.